If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're diving into the magic that happens when creativity meets self-discovery. What an exciting topic. Today, we're going to be talking about the power of tapping into your creative energy and how that can help you find who you truly are. Yeah, we're getting deep today. So this conversation is going to inspire you to clear the mental clutter, heal emotional wounds, and unlock your full creative potential. So you don't want to miss this. And I'm so excited because joining me today is Nadia Fairlamb. And Nadia is here to remind others of who they truly are through art and creativity. She teaches others how to leverage their creative imagination and embodies biological intelligence for healing the mental and emotional core wounding that blocks progress and creative achievements. Nadia has studied and taught for 30 years yoga therapy, dance therapy, and art, all while working as a full-time professional artist. She has helped hundreds of women heal their relationship with themselves through their creativity, body, and imagination. Her clients exit her courses with the ability to complete creative projects in record time, clearing the blocks as they achieve their goals. Let's get started. Welcome, Nadia.
Hi.
So good to have you here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me and letting me share what I do and providing support for those individuals that might need some help.
I love that. And I would love to start a little bit learning about your journey and your background because it's just fascinating. You spent 30 years teaching art, yoga therapy, dance therapy, as well as being a professional artist. Can you give us a quick snapshot of what your journey has been like?
Yes, of course. Yes, I was one of those kids in junior high and high school that was always making art and in all the art classes. And I got a scholarship to go to university to study art and archaeology. While I was doing those focus, while I was in university getting my degrees, I realized that I was not a very mentally or emotionally balanced person. And there were many times people would come up to me and reflect back to me how anxious and high-strung and out of balance and unpleasant I was to be around because I was very hyper-emotional. And while I was in university, I discovered yoga as a form of self-therapy and also dance as a form of self-therapy too. So while I was in university, I studied those things and I studied them really just for me at the time. When I graduated from university, I did get jobs illustrating archaeological artifacts. And so I was still working as a professional artist. And I also had a passion for, you know, the yogic arts and the dance arts too, the more esoteric kinds of understanding how I can be in control of myself without relying on Western allopathic medicine to just suppress all of my really big emotions and really big feelings. So I taught that a lot in the meantime. During my journey, I even stumbled across having a spiritual teacher and shifted a lot of my life, lived in an ashram, meditated and did that whole thing for a long, long time. And that actually led to even more imbalances. It was not balanced enough. So coming out of that spiritual group, I put it all together. I put it all together for myself. I did know that I've learned and I've done so many different things in my life that I knew how to pull all of these different aspects of the yogic arts, the dance arts, creativity, meditation, put it together so that I wouldn't get so derailed anymore. And then with that, all of that led to where I am today, which is I teach other artists on how to accelerate their creative achievements. I am a professional artist too. I do large-scale wood sculpture and still a lot of teaching of art to kids.
That is so amazing. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And one thing that really stood out to me is that you made a decision to not, what we are taught in our society is to suppress all these realistic emotions. That's what I think the majority of us are really good at, myself included. But you took a different path. You said, okay, where can I find an expression of that in yoga, dance, art? What was it for you to take that different path, and what inspired you to do that?
You know, I think there was one very pivotal moment. I was in university. I was getting my master's degree in sculptural ceramics and archaeology. And I had another student pretty much come up to me and tap me on the shoulder discreetly and hand me a piece of paper about this yoga class and very quietly but lovingly say to me, "You're not okay. You need help. Go to this yoga class." And I did. And I was, at first I was quite angry. I was like, "How dare you? Blah, blah, blah." You know, so much drama about the whole thing. But I went to a yoga class, and afterwards I discovered how calm, centered, focused, and clear I was, and how my emotional levels just went from just out of control, dramatic, to calm. And then I could also focus so much more clearly on my academic studies, and my art got better. So that's why I dove so deeply and so fully and completely, because my body said yes so clearly to those things. Now, I know yoga and dance isn't for everybody, but there is some kind of physical, bodily, connective activity that will help direct the mind and the emotions and the thinking. And for me, that was like, and I knew it was like, none of this can be separated anymore. And, mm-hmm. and it was also a reminder when I was a young child of being so inherently physically connected to my physiology and my body, and knowing that I could trust this thing so deeply and clearly, but then being cultured, especially during puberty, that you can't trust this thing, that somebody outside of me knows more than I do.
Wow, that's so fascinating. I think that's something a lot of people experience. Do you mind sharing more about that, going through puberty and feeling that others know more about ourselves or our body than we do? I'm curious because, so we go through school, right? Sitting still and not showing emotions and learning to do the work we're supposed to do. And then we learn that, and then we take that into our careers, right? And we're probably very socialized through that of like, okay, sit still, do what other people tell you to do, and put your head down and work hard. And I think a lot of people keep that mindset with them throughout their career as they grow older. And I love that you really stepped out of this, as far as from what I can see. And you took a not so traditional, conventional path. You carved your own path. How did you do that? Because I'm sure, I don't know if you faced any societal expectations of what a career should look like, and how you navigated that to step out of this.
Yeah, I would say this is a lifelong process. I won't lie, I still struggle with being an artist and doing some of the things I do, because it doesn't provide the normal levels of financial security that other things would. And yeah, my brain goes to the place of, you know, that direction. However, again, I'm going to go back to the body. As a child, as in all children, we're all very, very naturally, intuitively connected to this organism. And when I'm more connected to it, it feels better, and it guides me and leads me. And it's always leading me back to the creative arts. That's my outlet, where I then feel the most mentally, emotionally balanced. I feel like a better member of society, and that's where I have the thing that I have to offer, making these beautiful items where I literally have said, people, my clients say, I am buying this because when I look at this piece of art, I feel so much calmer, more centered, more grounded, and able to do the work that I'm meant to do. So if it's a form of visual meditation, right on, let's go for it, right? So if that's the service I'm providing to humanity, then I go that way. And I think it comes to a level of deep listening. Our bodies are really, really, really smart. And how do I know this? Because I had a period of time where several years, my body was communicating to me through panic attacks, depression, anxiety for quite a while. And some part of me was intelligent enough to ask the question, why are you doing this? Why? What's going on? What are you trying to tell me? What am I not hearing? Instead of going to a Western medical doctor, allopathic psychiatrist, psychologist, and saying, please give me a pill to suppress all of these really big emotions, sensations, and feelings, all my yoga training, all my dance training, all the memories of a child, my body is simply communicating with me. And I stopped and I asked questions. What are you trying to tell me? This is not the direction. Can we please go another direction? This is not the way we're supposed to be living. Can we please live another way? And then going that other direction.
And I hear from a lot of people that, so no matter actually if we're kids or adults, right? Like if I sit at an office desk for 8 hours, I might also come home and feel like that bottle that got shaken all day and explode. And it can come out in so many different ways, like anxiety, depression, panic attacks. Anger, suppressing our emotions, whatever it is, whatever we tend to do. And now when we talk about find a creative outlet, I hear from a lot of people, well, I'm not good at drawing. So what do you tell people? What are all the different ways we can be creative? Because it doesn't have to be drawing, right? There's a million other things we can do.
No. All right. First and foremost, everybody that's listening, creative energy is life force energy. How were you created? Like if we get down to the pure biological version of this, sperm and egg, it comes together. What is that biological explosion of energy? That's creativity. We are creating life. Creative energy is life force energy, period. So when anybody is feeling like I want to do something more with my life, I know I'm meant to be doing something more, maybe create something more. I have these urges, but I don't know how to follow through with them. That is life. That is like pure mana, life force energy, seeking to be expressed through the organism. So then we get to figure out, is this life force energy, wanting to be expressed through a form of physicality, yoga, dance, tai chi, taekwondo, surfing, like that's a form of life force energy. Is it seeking to be moved through my body through something visual, like a form of dance or artwork or making something with my hands? Right? Is it cooking? You can name the list of ways creativity comes out in a multitude of ways. But how do you discover that? How do you find that? How do you not let it eat you alive? Right? Because when creative energy is suppressed, it's going to come out as frustration and anger. Below that, the next step is rage. The next step below that is suppression and powerlessness. The next step below that is usually taking it out on somebody else in a really violent way. So, and this is, the emotional scale descending downward to the very depths of the bottom of the emotional scale. If so anybody is experiencing those emotions, it's not bad. It's not wrong. See it as a signpost on the highway saying you're either going to go this way downward or you're going to go this or figure out how to slowly take those stairs, that ladder, if you would, towards a different emotion. And it takes something. It takes a lot of inner courage and strength to even, number one, admit that, oh crap, I'm in a powerless state. I'm experiencing a lot of rage. I'm experiencing a lot of frustration. That's a whole nother conversation that I take my clients through. We learn to train our nervous system, our autonomic nervous system and our brain to receive and feel these new emotions so it becomes normal. Because you cannot get from powerlessness to I'm happy all the time. That's not possible. So you cannot expect any organism to do that. So if you're in a position where you're like, I know I want to be creative, but I am not going to sit here for 8 hours and draw a picture. That doesn't feel good to me. Or I'm not about to go run a marathon. That doesn't feel good to me. How do we take those baby steps to even discover, like, what's my thing? I always knew that visual arts and dance and movement were my thing. That's, fortunately, my mother never suppressed that. She encouraged that. My dad was completely lost and confused. He didn't know how to support a really creative, expressive girl. So that's a whole nother story. There's nothing wrong with him in doing that. My mother, she did. So I was encouraged to do that my whole life, which is I'm very fortunate for. But I come across a lot of clients that are not. And even my art clients, my clients that are professional artists, and they want to do these things. It's like, how do they break through that? So it's a process to discover, like, what is my way of expression?
It really is a process. And the more we get away from who we truly are, the longer it probably is to find us again for ourselves. But it's so worth that journey. And I'm wondering, so in my work, I love using the Spreker type assessment because it is a very unique assessment that doesn't tell us what we're good or bad at, but it tells us what gives us that spark that makes us come alive. And it makes me think of when you talk about life energy, it feels like connected to that. And if I wonder if this can help us find more of our creativity too. And it's something that I haven't talked about before, ever thought about. So for anyone who's not familiar with the Spreker type assessment, you can take it for free on sprekertype.com. If you take it, would love if you send me your results. I always love talking about this. And it was developed by Jonathan Fields. And the result gives you a primary Spreker type, a shadow Spreker type, and your anti-Spreker type. And I'm going to share about myself for a second, and then we can talk about yours, Nadia.
Sure.
Because my primary Spreker type is the scientist. And that is all about figuring things out and solving problems. And I had this moment. So when I had my first child, I realized I'm going to be spending a lot of time sitting and nursing this baby. And then I had my second child and I was like, okay, I'm going to be prepared for a lot of time of sitting and nursing. I need a good book. What could I possibly find that, like, I was just, what could I do in this time that would really fill my soul? Like, what would it be? There's billions of things out there, right? And looking through Amazon, I picked up the book. It's called Can You Solve My Problems? Logical Puzzles. And I was like,
what?
I was like, this is the most I was like, this is the most fun thing I could possibly find. I was so excited to buy it. And then I learned when you have a second child, you actually don't even have time to sit and nurse because you have another child running around, but that's a different story. But that reminded me of like the moment where I was like, I don't know what I would want to do with this time. And then actually picking something out of the million of options, that is exactly what my Spreker type is. And that is really my creative expression. Anytime you give me something to figure out, to put a puzzle to piece together, that's where I feel creative. And I wonder,
Yeah, absolutely. Because being a scientist is creative. It's a different form of creativity, whether you're an astrophysicist or a chemist, or you build jet planes or cars or, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, now that you say that, yes, like I never thought about this as creativity, but the way in my problem solving and figuring things out passion comes in my work is when I work with clients, I see their career journey as a puzzle. They have these skills, they have their strengths, they have what makes them come alive, they have certain experience, certain knowledge. And how can we put this all together and find the fit, that right fit for them, where they belong? And that's actually a very creative process. Never thought about this as being creative, but now that we talk about it. And I wonder, so your primary spark archetype showed up as the maven. And the maven yes. is this lifelong desire to learn, to know, to keep going, to become wiser, and being fueled by a near primal drive to know more. And it's really about the process of learning. And once you often come learn everything there is, you're ready to move on to learning something new. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's completely real for me. When I saw that, I smiled. I thought, yep, that's true. Once I felt like there was a certain aspect of me that was filled by the different yogic practices, whether it's the physical, mental, or emotional yogas, I then shifted into dance because it's like dance is yoga, but in action, right? In that way. So yeah, that totally makes sense for me.
And it's beautiful how that is also a creative outlet, that desire to learn, of finding what you're curious about, and you were drawn to yoga and dance, and then allowing yourself to pursue this and to keep learning about them. I imagine that must have been really fulfilling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it was. My body and my brain is always reaching for another thing to learn. However, something that I have learned, which is different from the past, is now I stay longer on one specific subject. So instead of jumping around like, sparkly object syndrome, it's yeah. for me, it's better to take a body of knowledge or a body of work. For me, I want it to be embodied. I want it to be so natural that it's just the natural part of me and who I am. And I won't move on to the next thing until it's that way.
That's so beautiful how that shows up for you. So interesting. And yeah, it really shows that you have this lifelong desire to learn and really to go deep and not just understand something on a surface level, but you really want to get to the core of it and embody it. And then your shadow spark archetype in the assessment showed up as the advisors. And advisors are all about guiding to grow. And it's the work of coaching, mentoring, advising that fills you like nothing else. Did that resonate with you as well?
Yeah, yes, it does. And for me, I've never been drawn to the words of coaching or advising. I'm a teacher. I'm trained to teach people how to do other things. And so being an art teacher, I teach kids how to make art. Being an art business teacher, I teach other artists how to get their art business to the place where it needs to be next. Yeah. So I don't really consider myself a coach. I teach people stuff.
Yeah. But I wonder what makes you more come alive, that giving that feeling of energy. You're obviously a fantastic teacher, but is it for you more when the person gets the knowledge? So you passing on knowledge to them and they get the knowledge? Or is your energy more coming from when you feel like that you guided them along the way to where you're their guide along their way towards their desired outcome?
Yeah, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about it that way. It's almost the thing that fills me up the most is revealing to somebody else the steps to take to get them to where they want to go, right? Here are the steps. You're wanting this result based on all these different trainings and things that I know that I've learned on all these certifications I've got. These are the steps to get there, and then stepping back and letting them take the steps. But when light bulbs go off, when they're seeing like, oh, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'll get there. I'm like, mm-hmm, okay, here you go. Go do it. Let's talk in a week.
Wow. That is a beautiful way of sharing knowledge and guiding others, of really wanting them to give them the tools so they can get to where they want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Where in your life has it happened where you were doing it somebody else's way for so long that you realized this just doesn't work for me? Yeah. And who taught you how to make it your own? Where in our cultural society school system are we taught this bit of information, this bit of information, and this bit of inherent knowledge? I'm going to put this together and make it my own, instead of I have to be this plant tree that fits into this structure so that other people feel comfortable and safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I'm not suggesting that you think of yourself as a coach or advisor in any way, but using the sparkotype terminology, the sage is one that comes alive by the transfer of knowledge, of having others get what they're teaching. But the advisor, and they're like, obviously, there's a lot of overlap and they flow together, but the advisor is really what you're describing, of helping them find their own steps, of helping them find their own answers.
Yeah.
And both are incredibly important and powerful, but it seems like for you, it's really about that guiding them and finding their way.
Yeah, this is good. I'm writing this down. I like that word. I had never thought about it that way before. Being an advisor.
And it's so, it goes so well with the creativity, right? Because you're not just teaching someone how to draw a picture, which I'm sure you're fantastic at, but you're probably teaching them much more of how they can express themselves in a creative form.
Yeah. Depends on the age of the child and what natural talents they're coming with. Then, at some point, a child or an adult, they do need to learn the techniques. How do you hold the pencil, the blah, blah, blah? How do you draw the thingy and perspective and all that stuff? But then there is that next step, which is missing in other places, which is I have this thing I feel and see inside of me. How do I get it out onto the paper or the photograph or the sculpture or the thing?
Yeah, that is really beautiful to allow ourselves to express that. And for our listeners who are listening in, do you have any tips or advice if they feel stuck in their life and they don't even know what their creative dream might be or their creative outlet, but they just feel like they're hitting roadblocks? They're not where they want to be. They're in some place where they feel like that bottle that's being shaken, and there's a lot in them that hasn't found its outlet. What are some tips or advice that you have for someone on how to overcome those, that feeling of being stuck?
That's such an important question. There's a few, but I'll give one specific one. And it's an activity that the listener can do when they're done listening to this, is to stop, and go do this right away, which is grab a piece of paper and on the left side of the piece of paper, write down your life exactly as it is right now. Don't sugarcoat it and don't leave anything out. Today, I feel XYZ. These are my emotions. These are the actions that I didn't take today that I wish I had. This is how I feel about this relationship and this person. My body and what I ate and what I didn't eat, like record your life exactly as it is in all the messy, icky, beautiful glory of it. On this other side of the piece of paper represents the polar opposite. This is the law of opposites. This is where you're going to sit down and you're going to write the exact opposite of what you wrote on the other side. So say, for example, it's like, I hate feeling so depressed today. The polar opposite would be, I love feeling so full of joy today. And you write those things down. No, just like we talked about earlier today, how do you get from that place of depression to joy? It's not just like a one quick, there's no pill you can take to get there. So to go from there to there. So if we look at the opposite page, or the opposite is, I wish I had gone to the gym today or gone to XYZ exercise. The polar opposite is, I went to this class today and I did it. So then you look at, like, with really raw honesty, you look at the left side and the right side, and you make a decision to start acting like this person on the right side or not. And then put out to the world or your community at large, I could use some support to get from this left side to the right side. And if there's a really strong, actual, deep, visceral longing of like, ooh, this left side, I kind of want to take a match to it right now and burn it down to the effing ground so I can get to the right side, this other side, then start asking. Get help. Get guidance. Get support. Whether it's in the form of a professional therapist that will help you take action on your life, go to a form of bodily exercise and get somebody to support you with that in some way, shape, or form. So there's a lot of different ways. So that's one way to start, like, really lighting a fire underneath your bum to get going.
That's such a beautiful exercise to share with our listeners, of really writing down what your life looks like, every aspect of your life on the left side and the polar opposite on the right. And then being realistic that this is not going to happen overnight.
Yeah. What is it actually going to take for me to shift from this to this? It's an important place to face within yourself, because I encourage anybody here, if anybody is in that level and state and sadness, it's actually good to get that deep and dark and low with oneself. Because the only way it is up now. You've hit rock bottom. You know that place. You're dancing there. You're in that place already. So, okay, there is so much support. There are so many trainings. There are so many really brilliant human beings on this planet that have been to that deep place that can support you, teaching you how to get yourself out. How do I find my way?
Yeah. How do I find myself?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful note to end this wonderful conversation on. Nadia, when people want to connect and learn more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So initially, the easiest way, of course, is Instagram. People can find me to see my art and the classes that I teach and the courses I provide that way, Facebook and all the socials. And then if people want to see a little bit about the artwork that I make and the long 90-day or 6-month trainings that I teach, they can go to my website, NadiaFairlamArt.com. And then if somebody is like ready, like, oh, dang, I am ready right now to start making these massive steps and changes with myself. Here's my list of, oh, boy, this isn't what I don't want. Here's my list of what I do want. Then for your listeners, I am offering breakthrough strategy calls that we'll put in the show notes, where they can do an hour-long consultation call. And they can, in this call, they're going to walk away with a 3-step process of what to do next with their life. Yeah, I don't always guarantee those 3-steps process is going to work for me, but I have a list of other resources that they can get to get where they really want to be next in life that I don't mind sharing with people.
That's amazing. So if you're not yet, follow Nadia at Nadia Fairlamp Art or on her website, NadiaFairlampArt.com. And then we're definitely going to be including the link in the show notes. And this was such an inspiring conversation. And I'm so grateful that you shared so much of your journey and your wisdom with us today. And if Nadia's story doesn't want you to grab a paintbrush or any other outlet of creativity that works for you, I don't know what will. She is such a powerful reminder that creativity is more than just making art. It's about healing, about growth, about discovering who we are at our core, which is what life is truly all about.
Yeah.
And if you want to take the next step in your career and clear those blocks and want to move in your career from something that feels like a bottle that's being shaken and never having that outlet in your career that really allows you to be who you are at your core, then I highly recommend to book a free call with me today. All you got to do is DM me the word clarity and I will send you the link. And please make sure that you follow me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Teresa A. White so you don't miss next week's episode. And if you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the Career Clarity Unlocked podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts so that you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. It would also mean the world to me if you could leave a quick review or share this episode with someone who could use a little bit career clarity. And your feedback truly helps us grow and reach more amazing listeners like you. So if you can leave a review, that would be amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next time.